And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow, guest host Gabe Ortiz will talk with WIPR's Scott Mousioni about skyrocketing healthcare costs for Marylanders, and Gabe will explore the legacy of Edgar Allan Poe. So that's coming up tomorrow, and joining me now is Jared DeMarinis. He is the state administrator of the Maryland Board of Elections. The filing deadline for candidates to be on the primary ballot this summer and the general election ballot in the fall is February 24th, so the end of next month we'll know who's running, and primary day is June 23rd. That is a mere 159 days from today. So candidates and the people who cover them will be navigating a new campaign finance reporting platform. And Jared DeMarinis joins us on Zoom to tell us about it. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Tom, for inviting me. Thanks for reminding me how many days left before the primary as well.
That's right. You're about to get really busy in 159 days. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I have the countdown already on my – that's my real countdown, not to New Year's or anything like that.
No, exactly. You don't need any glistening ball either. You know exactly where it is.
Yes.
So campaign finance, you know, every year we hear about people who are, you know, amending their reports. We hear about surprises that pop up when it comes to people who've donated to campaigns, et cetera. What is new about this new system having to do with reporting campaign finance information?
So this is a part of my overall arching plan to kind of help modernize the agency and to bring some fresh air, if you don't mind, into our data. The first thing that we did was update and revamp our entire website, make it more user-friendly. And now... it's onto the campaign finance reporting system. So as soon as you go onto the campaign finance reporting system for a voter, they get the top 10, you know, fundraise, the committees that raise the most money in the election cycle. There's color graphs, pie charts. When you drill down into any of the committees, it's easy to digest information. And this is empowering to a voter, because I've always said, you know, how you want to see a person, how they want to, you know, govern is how they raise their money and from whom they raise their money. And so this makes, I think, the voter more informed, and it's an empowering tool for them.
So there are two parts to it, as I understand it. There's the Maryland Campaign Reporting Information System, and then there's the Business Contribution Disclosure System. I think a lot of people are very concerned about businesses, companies, corporations, or PACs that are created by those companies, and
yes,
who they donate to and how much and why. So tell us about this Business Contribution Disclosure System. Is this brand new?
No, it's been actually around for probably almost 50 years. It came out of, I think, the Spiro Agnew days as Maryland's response to a pay-to-play operation. Basically, if a government entity enters into a contract with services with a vendor, that vendor has to report, you know, who they made contributions to. And it's not just the entity, the business entity of itself, but it's their owners, the principals, their CFOs, the top level management, if they made contributions to political candidates, that they have to disclose all their contributions. Additionally, it's not only if you have a contract of $200,000 or more that you're required to file, but if you hire a state lobbyist as well, you have that business entity has to disclose their contributions. So this is a kind of a one-stop shop for Maryland's easy disclosure for pay-to-play type of legislation.
You're, you know, making it easier, more accessible for voters, for folks like me in the media who pay attention to such things. But it's also, as I understand it, going to help the State Board of Elections staff when it comes to auditing and overseeing the campaign finance system. What ways is it going to make your jobs more efficient and easier?
Well, of course, you know, as we redeveloped the system here, you know, we made sure that all the compliance laws, for example, making sure you have a full address, whether the contribution in the aggregates go over the limits of $6,000. Whereas before, some of these things were more manually had to look at in order to produce an audit report. Now it's built into the system for greater efficiency and to use I would say, more modern technology in order to produce greater compliance.
I want
So
to.
basically, we're watching all these reports as they come in, and they're going to be coming in on the 21st. That's the first big reporting deadline. So,
And when they start coming in, they come in fast and furious, that's for sure.
exactly.
I want to switch topics now to the post office and mail-in voting. There's a new postal rule that went into effect on Christmas Day that says the postmark date doesn't necessarily have to correspond to the date where you bring a letter or a voting ballot into a post office. In other words, you could bring it in on a Monday, and it might not get postmarked until Wednesday if they don't happen to look at it until then. How will that rule affect mail-in voting and the rules about when a mail-in ballot is due and eligible to be counted?
So it will have an impact on mail-in voting. As people, of course, you would want to wait until, when you're comfortable with when you made your selections, but usually that's closer to election day than earlier. They have to now make more of a plan for how they want to vote. So if you get a mail-in ballot, just going to the post office or going or dropping it off in a post office box on an election day, where before that would have been sufficient because you knew that it would be picked up, it was going to get postmarked on election day, and then delivered and counted. This new post office rule has changed that pattern. So, in order to mitigate that, we suggest using Maryland's ballot drop boxes. So, as you wait, those ballot drop boxes are safe and secure. They're under surveillance for us to make sure to make sure that no one tampers with the ballot drop boxes, and they're picked up by election officials throughout the course of the election season. So and it goes directly to the election office for processing. And they're open up until election day, right up until the time that ballots can be received. So if you're waiting for it, then I suggest that you use the ballot drop box and not even worry about this idea of whether or not it's going to get postmarked or not. Or vote early using the US postal system. One of the things is that we always make sure that we make is that we're informing voters along the way. So a voter always knows when we've mailed out the ballot to them, and that once it goes into the once we've received the ballot, we notify the voter that the ballot has been received by the local board for processing, and that it has been canvassed as well. So throughout the process, the voter is aware of the status of their mail-in ballot. And I think now more than ever, that's important so that they can feel confident that it was received and that it will be counted.
There was a case just decided by the Supreme Court yesterday. A conservative congressman from Illinois sued, saying that Illinois allows mail-in ballots to be counted up to 14 days after an election. There's a grace period of when the ballot can arrive and be counted. So that is going to move forward. The ruling yesterday had to do with whether or not this particular candidate had standing to bring this case. But when it comes to grace periods, how will that affect Maryland mail-in ballots?
So Maryland has a 10-day grace period for its ballots. So that case, we're monitoring it, and we'll make sure that as soon as the Supreme Court makes a decision, we will read it and see how much of it impacts our nearly 800,000 mail-in ballot voters, because that was what we had in the last general election. So this is a significant portion of our electorate that uses mail-in ballots.
Yeah, ever since COVID, when people sort of had to use mail-in ballots because going to a polling place could be putting your health in jeopardy, people got used to mail-in ballots. There are some states that only do mail-in ballots. They don't even have polling places.
Yes.
You know, right now, Maryland is one of 30 states that has a grace period for the ballot to actually arrive. But mail-in ballots are more and more popular with each subsequent election, aren't they? I mean, this is something people really have embraced.
Yes. So the last general election, in-person election day was the number one method. Early voting was number two, and mail was number three. But overall, the numbers weren't that, it was kind of evenly divided. It was, 33, 34, percent between the first two, and then the remainder with mail. In the primary election in 24, vote by mail was about 40% used by the electorate, and we suspect that the June 23rd primary, because it's right after the school ends and everyone wants to start their vacation, that voting by mail is going to probably be a very popular and used option. So yes, this could have an impact on Marylanders and how they vote. And so make a plan now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, mail it now, because these days the post office, you just don't know. You just don't know sometimes how long it's going to take. I know we got to let you go, but I do want to ask you about one more lawsuit, and that is one that the federal government is suing our state and five other states about providing information from voter rolls to the federal government. Can you explain to folks what's at issue here in that disagreement and where things stand?
Sure. Right now, the Department of Justice has asked for information on over 4.2 million registered voters in the state of Maryland, and not just what is publicly available, but they want to have their Social Security, last four digits of Social Security number, their driver's license number, personal identifying information, so sensitive, secure information about all our registered voters. They have not once given us a electoral purpose or a process that they are going to use this for. So at this point here, Maryland law is quite clear on what information is publicly available and for the reasons. And the Department of Justice has not provided any reasons and has asked for additional information that is not publicly available. So at this moment here, we're not going to give them the list, and we're going to make sure we protect our Marylanders' safety and security and their information from unnecessary intrusions and overreach.
Well, like many things in the current administration, there are things that are being litigated in the courts. There are hundreds of lawsuits about decisions that the Trump administration has made. We will follow this one carefully, and we will certainly have you back on as many times as we can to encourage people to vote, to assure people that voting is safe, and to make sure that people know their options when it comes to making their voice heard. Jared DeMarinis, thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
Jared DeMarinis, the state administrator of the Maryland State Board of Elections. And up next, after a quick break, a theater review with J. Wynn Russick. We'll talk about Seven Guitars. That's an August Wilson classic. It's currently at the Spotlighters Theater here in Baltimore. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your local NPR news station.